everybody. Welcome to another episode of Crimes, Killers, Cults.
And water. I'm drinking water.
Yeah, me too. This is the first of special, extra episodes because Paul can't be here all the time and I want to put out more content. So Paul will be on the numbered episodes and then these will be extra episodes. And I don't know what we're going to call them yet. I'm not going to call them half pints because they might not always be short episodes. So can't call them half pints.
Extra special.
Yeah. So
I'm extra special. My mommy told me so.
Intro music that you heard obviously is not my song Dark Passenger, which is the normal intro. That's another song of mine called Angel in Front of Me.
Oh, you're not talking about me. Oh.
Two angels in front of me. And we're going to be having other podcasters on, listeners. If somebody hates the podcast and they want to come on, I might even entertain that too. But right now we have a listener named Katie.
I don't know why I started waving.
Hi, Katie.
Hello. How are you?
I'm fine. Katie is going to, Katie's taking over. We started talking about this. She's like, I want to take the lead on it. I said, okay.
I don't know if I said that. I think I agreed to that. Did not say that.
No,
I did not say that.
I gave you the option. I gave you the option and you said, yeah, that'd be cool.
Yes.
So, I mean, this is all about the listeners. I don't know of any other podcasters, podcast that brings listeners on to do episodes, let alone let them take the lead.
I sent the story and you're like, hey, do you want to do that? I was like, wait, what? I just gave you a name, dude. Like, what are you talking about?
So when did you start listening? How'd you find my crazy ass show and what episode brought you in?
So I actually listened to Pandora. I found podcasts on Pandora and I just started randomly listening to things because I didn't actually get into podcasts until like the last year or so. So I've been playing catch up and trying to figure out what I wanted to listen to. And, so with my ADD, I'll go down a rabbit hole and listen to a podcast for like 100 episodes and be like, I need something else. Start listening to another, like kind of go back and forth. And during one of my I need something new searches, I found you. Found you right before you would, you redid the original BTK.
Oh,
so okay. Your redo, I had started listening. So actually I found you basically when you made the new Facebook group.
Oh, okay.
That's cool. When I started. Yeah. So I was like, hey, this is cool. And started posting memes.
Cool. That's the Facebook discussion pub, by the way.
Yes.
Eventually going to replace the normal Facebook page that we have because this one people can post their own threads and stuff like that. It's a lot more interactive. It's a group, not a page.
Yeah, I like it.
So yeah, and I like it too. That's what I wanted initially, but pages don't let you do that. So
it's weird.
But the page has a whole bunch of people on it, so we need to get those people over to the pub before I get rid of the page.
All right.
So, go ahead. Who are we covering?
Today we are going to discuss Mr. Kendall Francois from Poughkeepsie, New York, his serial killer. He is special.
Very.
By not being special, I guess.
So
he's African American serial killer, which statistically it's usually white males, but there's a lot of white males in the country.
Right.
So, he murdered prostitutes and sex workers. They knew him. And so it wasn't like he was picking up strangers.
Yeah.
It was a lot of things. He went to school. He was a wrestler and played football. Because he was a very large man.
Yeah, and he didn't. He also, you know, in wrestling, he had a little secret weapon too that would make his opponents not want anything to, you know, not want to be anywhere around him.
Yeah, he definitely had a hygiene issue, which we find out a lot more about. There's actually, so I read Rosen's book, and I also read, I guess you can call it like a short story-ish by, what is that, Dennis Scholzman. So apparently Dennis Scholzman was the battle buddy of Francois when he was stationed in Hawaii.
Okay.
So he... I don't know. Like, nobody was like, you know, nobody co-authored with him or whatever. So it's just kind of like his word.
Right.
But the things he says really tracks with the military and with, you know, Kendall now or in Poughkeepsie in the 90s.
Okay.
So Kendall was actually the second serial killer in Poughkeepsie in the 90s. He had one at the beginning, too.
Who was the other one?
I forgot his name. And I don't know why I brought it up without knowing his name. now I got to go look it up.
Was it further back in the past, or was it around the same time?
He was
at
the beginning of the 90s, and Kendall was at the end of the 90s.
Oh, okay.
He was a white guy. It's just sending me Kendall. What is this guy's name? I don't know. They just keep bringing up Kendall because that's what I've been researching. So, like, you obviously mean this guy. Oh, Nathaniel White.
Oh, okay.
So he was sentenced in May of 93. He murdered six. So now he's 61, and apparently he's still in prison in Elmira. But Kendall has passed away.
Thanks a lot. We'll see you next week. No, I'm kidding.
So yeah, me taking the lead, super great, because I don't know what I'm doing.
Think I knew what I was doing early on?
I don't. You did redo your first couple of episodes, so
no, I redid episodes like 5 and 6.
Oh, that's right. That's not. Yeah, sorry.
Michael,
no, your first episode was phenomenal.
Yeah, Michael Malloy was our first episode.
Love that episode. That's seriously, that's why I love you. Was because of that episode. I was just giggling. I was like, this freaking guy won't die. Like, this is insane. And I had to listen. Like, I had to know what's going to happen next. I was like, all right, you got me, Bill.
The original first episode was going to be Luca Magnotta, but I'm just like,
that's right.
But it Luca is now the second, you know, number two, right where it belongs, because he is a number two. But but I'm just like, you know what? Let's kick this thing off right. We're doing Michael Malloy first.
I love it. He was fantastic.
Thank you. You're fantastic.
thanks. So Kendall was born. He went to school. He didn't really fit in. People made fun of him because he was ginormous. At like 14, he was like 6'4". He's a very big man.
Yeah, he was outweighing the adults at his school.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh,
by
yeah,
a long shot.
Absolutely. So he lived in Poughkeepsie, but he was in the Arlington School District, which is in LaGrange, as opposed to the city of Poughkeepsie School District, because of how the lines are. He actually lived right by Vassar College, which is, it was an all-girls school. A lot of famous people have gone there. Like Phoebe from Friends went to Vassar College. That general area, we've got Marist College, which is a great college. We've got the CIA, which is the Culinary Institute of America, which is anybody eats good food.
I've been lied to my entire life because I thought that stood for Central Intelligence Agency.
Oh, no, it's all about food. That's right up there. I mean, the Hudson Valley is a beautiful area.
I'm sure I've been through there.
I'm sure, yeah. We're right between... We're on the Hudson, right between Albany and the city.
And yeah,
so
I've been through there.
It's like a small commuter town. Yeah. We're not far from West Point. That's across the river and down a little bit. And the river's the Hudson. I forget that. I don't talk to people who live there. I don't know what I'm talking about. So it is a beautiful area. There's not IBM was really big. IBM was huge, actually, in the 90s. It was really big, but then, like, layoffs and such. A lot of people that worked in the area worked at IBM in one way or another.
Yeah.
His parents, and this is the thing that's weird about him, his parents were married. They both had stable jobs. He was one of four or five. Everything in his past, there's nothing there. Like, nothing that came out that I read. Like, there's no animal abuse. There was no, what was that? What was that? That triad that was debunked, but still, like, there was
head injury.
No.
No arson, no injuries, no bedwetting.
No. There was just nothing. I mean, the only thing, like, he got made fun of because of his size, but then he was on wrestling and football. He was like varsity too as a freshman, which usually you're not.
No.
But because of his size, it's kind of hard not to give that to him.
Yeah, let him be the center and protect the quarterback.
Like JV kids, it's like, no. Pull my kid from the football team. Like, guy's a grown-ass man.
No, you don't put him on defense. You make him an offensive lineman and put him directly in front of the quarterback.
Just stand him and, like, stare at people. Yeah, like, no. But when he was in the Army, so he went to Fort Sill for basic, and then he went to Hawaii, which is kind of freaking awesome. You're going to be in the Army, like, that's pretty cool. So the book that I did read, he talked about how, so Dennis got there after Francois, and he was assigned, like, that was his battle buddy. He was assigned to the room. Francois was out in the field when Dennis first reported. So he got assigned to his room, went up to the room, and came back down. He's like, are you fucking kidding me? The place was filth. It was disgusting. There was crap everywhere. There was dirty magazines with dirty, sticky clothing right next to them. You know. Yeah. Like, it was food, like, just everything everywhere, rotting, disgusting. And this guy goes back down. He's like, are you fucking serious right now? So he actually spent the weekend cleaning.
He cleaned up Stinky's mess for him?
Yeah, well, because they were sharing a room. It wasn't like they were just, because some of them, they share bathrooms. So you'll have, like, two rooms with a bathroom in the middle, like a Jack and Jill bathroom, right? Right. But you have other barracks where they're in the same room. So he was actually, like, physically in the same room with him. And he's like, I can't fucking live like this. What the fuck? Yeah. So he cleaned it up. He threw a lot of stuff away.
But that's what he was raised with. His house was a dump his entire life. Yeah. That was normal to him.
Yeah. When they went in, there was maggots crawling all over the place. He lived there with his sister and his parents. And it just, I don't understand. Like, I can understand how maybe one person, but, like, a family, like, what is happening? And they didn't give a shit. So I don't know, man. But people would talk about the smell of the house, like, before.
Well, you could probably smell it from the street.
Oh, yeah. No, people could. Absolutely. They could smell it from the street and they would, you know, walk across the street or whatever. But the smell, like, even before the bodies, because he didn't try to hide them, really. Like, he did, but didn't.
No, he just stashed them underneath all the crap in his house.
Yeah, in his attic and in a crawl space in the basement. And when the family did question it, he said they were raccoons.
Dead raccoons.
Raccoons died, but he couldn't get to the bodies. Because of, you know, all the shit. But women were still going home with him. Like, I mean, the prostitutes, they're sex workers. They have a freaking a drug habit, and money's money.
Yeah.
And that sucks. But
I don't know. I cannot, like, if I go over to somebody's house or whatever and it's a freaking pigsty, I'm not going back.
No. Well, you're also not a sex worker, are you?
No.
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 So you don't have any habits to pay for? Not yet.
Not yet.
Rent hasn't gotten that high yet, huh?
Not quite. Getting there, though. No.
Yeah, this, and it was kind of hard because you know, these women are missing and it's, you know, going to start making some noise, but there's no crime scene. There's no body. There's literally nothing to go on. Like, they called the FBI a few times, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
There's nothing for them to analyze. So they were doing what they could, but they're like, what are you going to do?
One enough. I can just picture them. All right, we got to search this out. Call the rookie.
Yeah. I mean, the person who went in actually was not a rookie, but at one point he did get charged with an assault charge. And this was after a few murders. He got charged with an assault charge and he went willingly with the police. No problem. He answered their questions. No problem. And he actually stopped by his house on the way to something. I forgot, to like a different barracks, because he was taking the a polygraph test, which they didn't have. They had to go to the state police. So they stopped by his house on the way and there was a cop in the house, in his room, with bodies above him. And because the house was so disgusting, he did not notice the decomp.
Yeah.
Like, how fucked is that? And he wasn't a new cop. He wasn't a rookie. Like, you know that smell.
So
but
he got,
it was just.
So he got discharged from the army because of his weight.
Yes. And then he went back home and he got a job at the middle school. So he was a custodian, a janitor at the middle school. He started doing
home monitor work. The fact that he was a janitor
at the middle school, man. And that I remember because I was that age. I was in junior high when this was taking place, and I was in high school when he got charged.
Oh, wow.
So knowing that,
did you ever?
Like, it wasn't my district.
Oh, so you never?
No, I was in the Wappingers school district. I was, I was in the town. I was born in Poughkeepsie, raised in Wappingers, so it's like just north or just south of Poughkeepsie. But, you know, you have friends because you play sports and everything, like you know people there. But we didn't know, like we didn't know at that point. We found out when we got a little bit older, because by the time 2000 came around and he was getting sentenced and everything, like we're reading newspapers, I guess, like current events articles for the school. You're like, wait, what? You're like, where there's a fucking serial killer? Jesus. So yeah, they didn't know. Like the kids didn't know. I think he killed a couple and then left that job, got another job, got fired from there. And then the rest of them were, he wasn't working. He wasn't employed.
Well, he was making suggestive comments and accidental touches to the female students at the
quote unquote accidental.
Yeah.
Really warranted his dismissal.
Acts of purposely.
Yeah, exactly. But there's nothing that really like warranted his dismissal, which is kind of ew.
Yeah.
Like, you have a very large man making sexual comments to kids and that didn't. Okay.
That's gross. That's yuck.
Yeah. So yeah, they didn't really, and the kids called him stinky, which the papers grabbed a hold of and the sex workers 100% agreed with. And that was his name. He was like the Poughkeepsie murderer and stinky, the stinky serial killer. That sucks, man. You have like Night Stalker, who did a bunch of fucked up shit, and then you have stinky. You got stinky from Poughkeepsie. Stinky. Like, yep, that tracks.
Poughkeepsie itself doesn't sound very menacing. It sounds like a little mouse. That's when I hear Poughkeepsie, that's what I think of. It's like the name of a mouse in some Disney movie or something.
I do like that you're following how you pronounce it. You're not following the spelling, because technically it's Poughkeepsie, like how it's spelt. And whenever I hear people pronounce it like that, it's like, no. Poughkeepsie.
I mean, I know how pronunciation works. I know how.
Yeah.
Even if I hadn't heard you say it, I would have still been pronouncing it Poughkeepsie. So.
But a lot of people don't. And they're like, where? What? Yeah, no.
Well, I live in Florida.
Oh yeah, y'all got a bunch of weird names down there too. It's like Long Island. Long Island is weird.
Like Okeechobee, Kissimmee.
You're right.
Kissimmee is the big one because people want to pronounce it Kissimmee.
It's Kissimmee.
It's Kissimmee.
It's like my, I have a family out in California. It looks like Placerville. That's Placerville. You know Placerville, right? I think you've been through there.
I'm sure I have.
Yeah, so it's Placerville. It's just, anyway. So, yep. Kipsy.
Give me one
We were
minute. I
famous
gotta.
before Snooki.
You have the names of the
So,
victims?
I do.
Okay, cool.
So you want to go in order?
Let's go to, kind of what built up to his first murder, like
Okay.
when he
Well,
decided.
first, I mean, that's the thing where the army comes in because that was, he got out of the army in 94. He got out of the army in 94 and the murder started in 96.
Okay.
So with, because I want to talk about like, it's interesting with that. So when the guy first got there, he like, he cleaned the room or whatever. He met up with him, found out more about him, and he stunk at that point. And then, when they got back, he found out that Kendall wasn't allowed to go off post by himself. He got in trouble because he was too rough with the sex worker. And so his buddy was like, all right, I'll make a deal with you. You come, you keep yourself clean, like we'll call it even type of thing. And they went out. His Dennis was still a virgin and they decided they were going to fix that. So he went out with Kendall and another guy. They went off to go find him a hooker. So Dennis is just sitting there. A woman approaches him. One thing leads to another. They have sex. And then Kendall pops up. He's like, what are you doing here? He's like, oh, of course they paid for her. Like, that's why, because she's beautiful, whatever. So at one point, there was a scuffle or something. Kendall hit Dennis. And then when Dennis came to, he realized that Francois had the sex worker by the throat and was choking her. And it took him and the buddy to get him off of her. They went back, didn't say anything.
This is in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then another time.
This is from that his buddy.
Yeah. And it was called, the book was called, or the, I don't know, short story, whatever you want to call it. It's Before Poughkeepsie, Living with a Body Collector.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, so he's had a couple of stories about finding women in his closet and, you know, kind of squirreling them out or whatever. Like Kendall wasn't there, but there was a woman in his closet. It's like, okay.
Oh, so he
Got her out of there.
so even in Hawaii in the army on post, he was still essentially,
Disgusting.
well, yeah, that
And
too, and
yeah.
kid it's essentially kidnapping
Yeah.
these prostitutes
Yeah.
and imprisoning
He
them.
still had the sex workers and everything. He was still abusive with them. You know, like they'll say like rough every so often. It's like, no, that's abuse. That's not rough sex.
No.
That's straight up assault.
That's, yeah.
So, at one point, Dennis made a report, you know, more or less told on him to the first sergeant, I believe. And then the first sergeant left, came back with Francois and was like, well, he said you did this and you're saying he did that. And Dennis was straight up telling him about like assault and a woman that he had beaten and, you know, this and that and da 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 da. And like, the first sergeant came back was like, well, he said that you cleaned his room. It's like, what the fuck? But that's, I mean, like stuff like that tracks. Cause I mean, quite frankly, how many people have gone missing on post? And the military's like, I don't know. So ignoring.
Is he suspected in any is he suspected in any murders in Hawaii?
I think at one point, the lead detective in Poughkeepsie did talk to, Honolulu police, I think it was, because I think he was around, he was on Oahu, and I think it was Honolulu, like Waikiki area. But when they called them, they were like, well, he wasn't really a suspect, but things did happen, but the bodies were found. But when he left, it stopped. That was from Rosen's book. So I'm not sure exactly, if anything, but apparently his battle buddy Dennis asked him if he had ever killed anybody. He didn't answer him. But in school, when he was at Dutchess, it was a question in one of the classes, like, has anybody killed anybody? He raised his hand and they laughed because it's, you know,
he probably funny. Did.
I know at that point, probably. Yeah. I don't know if he was going to Dutchess. I think he was going to go back.
And they're just like, oh, Stinky, he's so funny.
Yeah. Like, I have a cousin that used to play, like, spades with him at Dutchess, and he was there on and off for years. I think he went to school about the same time, or at the same time as one of his victims.
Wait, you have a cousin that knew him?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of people knew him. He was a big person, kind of hard to miss.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like, so you have this very large man. So even if they didn't actually know him, they saw him. They knew his presence.
And he wasn't a deliberate stranger type. There's no way he could have been.
No. No, he was chilling. Like, he was playing spades in the common area. Like, this was normal. So he was kind of to himself. He was, you know, he didn't smell good. He didn't like losing. But they were chilling. Like,
you better let me win or I'm going to stick your nose in my armpit.
I mean, we both swam in the Hudson. If we could survive that, yeah, what's a smelly dude? It's
like,
fine.
Like George Carlin said, we have such strong immune systems because we swam in raw sewage.
Yeah, that's not a clean place.
Yeah.
It wasn't, at least. I don't know. I think they've cleaned up a bit. But, so yeah, so he was on and off at Dutchess, where a lot of people go to Dutchess in the area. It's a community college. It's Harvard on the Hill. So yeah, he was pretty known in the area. Like, if you see a guy like that walking around while you're going back and forth to your classes and you smell him, you're going to remember him. So a lot of people had bumped into him or knew of him. So I believe his first three murders, he was still working at the middle school. And they were really, like, back-to-back. So as I was saying before, nothing really led up to this. There was no accidents. There were no – in his past, there, like, when they got these records or whatever, there's no assaults in his past, like, towards him, like, sexual, physical. There's no abuse or anything. It was just kind of, so it's like, you don't know. I mean, the only thing I could think of is just religious, because he was, even before he went to prison, which everybody finds Jesus, apparently he's in prison. I don't know. But he was kind of religious beforehand. He was going to church and whatnot in the military. And so the only thing I think, like, with religion, maybe he was over sexualized and, but it was bad.
I don't,
you know what I mean? Like, he felt guilty or whatever. I don't know. Cause he cleaned them after they had sex and he murdered them. He would clean the bodies.
What's the point of doing that if you're just going to stuff them in underneath a big pile of trash?
Don't know.
I mean,
but he cleaned all the bodies and he put them in trash bags and they found them just, yeah. Because he started, I think his first murder, it was, where was it? October of 96. And he was, I think, officially arrested like September 1st of 98. Yeah. So he had, he was kind of busy.
Yeah.
He wasn't hiding. The police, they knew who he was. Like, right before they arrested him and, like, actually where he confessed, they waved at him.
So
they saw him driving by. It's like, oh, there's that guy again, because we've already interviewed him. Like, we know him. He knows us. It's like, hey, guy.
Yeah.
And they were actually putting up flyers from the last woman that he killed.
So the trigger for this, the trigger for him doing this, he did, like, officially, like, as far as the main story is concerned, was people picking on him and stuff like that, and him getting pissed off about it. Women just wanting to, want nothing to do with him unless he was paying them type of thing, and he just blew a fuse. But
I think that's an easy.
That's the easy way out.
Yeah. Right. Like that's just like, oh well, he got picked on, so that must be that. Okay, next story. You know what I mean? Like I don't think it was that because he's picked on a lot. He didn't do anything to change it. He did want to, I mean, he obviously wasn't a complete outcast because he was on varsity wrestling and football. He was in the army. He did have his buddies. You know, he wasn't completely out there. And I think at one point he said it was easier to kill them than to try to have a relationship. What? Because they didn't want one.
Yeah, right.
And he knew that. So I don't know. Like, he was just self-aware. It's like, fuck it. I'm just going to kill a bitch. Like, what the fuck, dude? But there wasn't anything like, I mean, nothing serious. Like, he said the first couple of women, it's like, oh, they ripped me off because they wanted to stop for whatever reason. So they ripped him off. And it's like, but you got him.
He was smothering
like,
them.
That's not ripping you off. What?
He was smothering them both with his weight and with his body odor.
I know. But all these, they all knew him. None of them didn't know him, apparently. Like, everything that says it's like that he had gone to them. The sex workers knew who he was because he would get a little rough. Like, he just decided to start killing them for one reason or another. And even when people were trying, there's a woman that basically accidentally met him when she was like 17, I think. And they were in jail together. And he was below her. So I'm not really sure how they started talking. But after she got a little bit older and realized who he was and everything, she wrote to him in prison. And she kept asking him. And he ended up stopped talking to her because it was annoying him. But it's like, why did you do this? And he's like, I don't know. And anything I say now would just try to like justify it. So I don't know.
Damn.
Yeah. So it's like, and he didn't care. So he does have, he is some type of psychopath because he has no remorse. He never did. He laughed at the victim statements or the family, the victim impact statement.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was laughing at that.
So he just one day decided just going
to
kill him.
Just to start killing some sex workers because, you know, there's nothing else to do in Poughkeepsie.
Yeah.
Go to the mall, I guess. So the first one was Wendy Myers. She was only 30 years old. And the ages range from, 25 to 51. So it wasn't the age of the woman, but they were all white, all small framed women. So you didn't even have to be that big to get them. Wendy Myers was reported missing 2 days after he murdered her. And then there was Gina Barone, who was 29, I believe, when she died. So the first one, Wendy Myers, was October 24th of 96. Then right after that, Gina Barone, which was November 29th, 96. But then it was just a few days later, on the 31st, that he killed somebody else. Like, it was like 1, 2, 3. And then he didn't do anything for almost a year. Apparently. I don't know. Oh, wait, no, that wasn't even him. I'm sorry. Michelle Eason went missing in September of 97. Her body was found in October of 97, and they were trying to link him to that. But Michelle is African-American, and her body was found, but not with him, obviously. So I don't think he had anything. I know he didn't have anything to do with that. I say no, but yeah. It just wasn't his thing. But yeah, it was just kind of like one after another, which is weird. And then,
but it was what, 6 over 2 years? You said
8.
8 over 2 years. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, there was one that she was reported missing because her parents hadn't talked to her in months, and the father used to be a CO. He went looking for her, couldn't find her, then went to the police department. And they found out, and that was in November of 97. And it turned out that nobody had seen her since February. So when people started missing, New York State has a system where all the missing people go into that every jurisdiction has access to. So I think it's like run by the state police, but every jurisdiction
They
has
communicate.
access to it. Yeah. Which is fantastic because
It
you can
is.
just plug in some information into the system and it says like the circumstances and the location of where they were last seen. So then you can easily and quickly see a pattern.
Right.
So it does like the similarities. They do cross searches. They can compare and search between cases and different categories, times. And I mean, it's great. And then they also have the Missing Persons Network, which I think it said that 35 people, 3,500, 35,000 people will be reported missing, but like 31,000 will be found one way or another, and usually alive. So it's like the other 4,000. I was like, that's not terrible though.
Still sucks, but still.
Well, of course, but I mean, but having that access across the entire state is big because we all know, especially like people don't like to share information. They don't want to do this. They don't want to do that. But this was handled, I think, as well as they could have, because the city of Poughkeepsie went to the town of Poughkeepsie, so they were together and then got the state police involved as well. So those three, I mean, if they didn't work well together, because there's a couple women that went missing from different areas, from different counties. So it wasn't even like a different, the city between the town. There's a woman from Highland that went missing, and that's across the river in a completely different county, a completely different jurisdiction. So if it wasn't the state police, they wouldn't have had access to that, and those similarities wouldn't have been found. That's pretty good. One woman was pregnant. Another one was almost becoming a grandmother. It's just, I don't know. It just sucks. They're so. Rosin actually did a good job, like talking about the victims and where they were and what they were doing. Like somebody else is trying to go to rehab and, you know, get better and fell off. Taking classes and everything. Somebody else had a job that wasn't
Right.
sex work. So it's like, just kind of sucks. During his murder, so it was Wendy Myers, Gina Barone, Catherine Marsh, Kathleen Hurley, who was 47. She was reported missing in January of 97. Mary was reported missing November of 97. Then there's a woman, Laura Gallagher. She actually fought him pretty hard and was able to get out from underneath him. And
Wow.
she convinced him, yeah, which is huge because he's
It's
huge.
huge.
But every woman that he attacked was a very petite woman. It was a
Right.
white petite woman on drugs.
So he's
So he could easily overpower them, but this woman fought and she convinced him to let her go.
Oh, and I also read something saying that the reason why he targeted white women is because he found black women to be, like subpar.
I don't know. I think that's also, he never talked
War.
about it. That was just somebody, you know what I mean? It's like
Just
somebody just guessing.
sensationalizing.
Yeah. Maybe he didn't want to kill women that looked like his mother. Maybe he actually liked his mother. You know, he's no Kemper. Like,
Mother.
seriously, like, maybe he actually liked his mother. I mean, he lives with his little sister too.
Right.
He was only like early 20s when he was doing this. His little sister was still a teenager. So he might just have seen his family in women of color and just decided to kill.
That's probably more likely than him not liking black women.
I mean, that makes more sense to me, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know where I saw that.
Because, I mean, and that's the thing. Like, there's another one. There's another, like, random article I read from, I think the guy was from Australia. And he said something about, he's like, oh, and there were signs of necrophilia. And then, da da da, I was like, whoa, wait, what? Where did you get that? Because in nothing did it say anything like that. It says that he didn't touch the body. He did move a couple of them, but he didn't touch the bodies after he placed them. And the only reason they knew what he did to them, because all he did was choke them out. So the bones were broken in the necks, and that was it.
Yeah.
So if he had done other things, there would have been more. And somebody was saying, you know, possibly because people said dismembered, because they said they found the bones and this and that, instead of like skeletal remains. But you got to remember, the first three women were killed years before he was caught.
Right.
So like those bones in a house that's falling apart probably start falling apart themselves. So yeah, so Laura got away. She got away. She told one of her friends what had happened. Her friends talked to Vice and they sent the information because they already knew Kendall. They already had his name. They were already, he was already known to be rough with the women. And I think at that point, is that the one that, I think that that point was when, he did the polygraph and all that. So that was the point where a officer, so Poughkeepsie, the town of the city, they don't have polygraphs there. They can't afford it. So they had to go to the state police, I think at like Millbrook or something. So on the way there, he was like, I don't know if he needed to stop at the house or whatever the reason, but the officer was in his house. By this point, he had killed at least four women.
Right.
They were in his house.
Like just feet
the
away
cop
from the
was
officer.
Feet away. Exactly. The officer was feet away. It was above his head in the attic and nothing.
I don't
Because the
know
house was
why.
in such squalor.
I don't know why these, a lot of these, you know, not a lot of them, because not a lot of them do it, but serial killers that do that, that stash the bodies in their house and don't, and think they're not going to get caught. Dahmer did it. There's
Gacy.
Gacy did it. There was, I can't remember his name, but it was called the British, Dahmer or whatever.
Oh yeah.
He did it too. And well, he tried to, he tried to flush him down the toilet.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
Yeah. Then,
and it like got caught in it or something. And they're like, well,
KFC.
It's like, oh, I think it was just bones. Which it was, but that ain't no chicken.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean,
the fact that he just stunk. He was stinky before he did any of this. The house was stinky. They all knew it. The neighbors would pass by and the house, and that's the thing. Like, there's a different smell between, you know, decomp and trash, but when it's been years and years of years of living in squalor where your neighbors recognize the smell of your house.
Well, yeah, they're less likely to raise an eyebrow, but what happens if, you know, because, I mean, they only had one working bathtub in the entire place and he drowned one of his victims in that,
yeah,
in said bathtub. But,
I think that was actually Wendy. That was the first one.
Yeah, the first one. And, just the thought of that bathtub. Ugh.
I know.
Being, ugh.
Yeah. Cause I mean, that's what everybody was using to shower. And,
if it was a
sex
white
worker
bath,
he murdered.
If it was a white bathtub,
it was not.
Well, I'm just saying, if its original color was white, it wasn't white. It was probably like as black as my shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, I don't know, man. Hard water. I don't know. But it's just, yeah. I don't know. But that officer who was not, he wasn't new. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't some young guy who didn't know any better. Like, he had been around the block a couple of times, but he didn't know, which is insane. Like, how disgusting was that house where you couldn't tell that there was multiple women in decomposition?
Yeah.
Ugh, Jesus. Yeah, so Laura, she didn't sign the statement at first. She didn't sign it until February, like a month later. So that's when they grabbed him. That's when he did the polygraph and he passed the polygraph, which also goes back to Dennis, the battle buddy, because apparently, Francois told him at one point of how to trick a polygraph. But again, it's like, is that, I don't know. Because there's nobody else there saying, like, yeah, that totally happened. You know what I mean? So it's right. Like, is that just a convenient thing or is that real or not? But I mean, it tracks. But if you got somebody who literally, he doesn't care, you know, just you got the nature versus nurture or whatever. There's nothing in his past. So it's just he was born this way, I guess. But he didn't care. So the lie detector test, why would he care? He's not going to get excited about it.
True.
So, I mean, that's why that stuff doesn't work.
They're inadmissible in court anyway.
Exactly, because it doesn't work. Because you have people who don't give a crap, who pass it. And then you have people like me who just be, my heart rate would be racing. Mm-hmm. Like, what's your name? I don't know. I'd be so anxious. I'm like, Jane Doe. Like, it'd be awful. I was like, I would absolutely go to jail if I had a polygraph. And then I get really sarcastic and awkward. So it's like, yep, I'm going to jail. So with that charge, so he hit her, Laura, and he also was choking her. So she did have marks on her and everything. And he ended up pleading guilty. And guess what he was charged with, or whatever you want to call it? What was it? It was 15 days. He was sent to jail for
15 days.
He was sent to jail for 15 days.
15 days. Hmm.
Yep. And guess what? He didn't serve it all. He got time off for good behavior.
For 15 days.
Yep.
15 days.
So he got time off for good behavior and quote unquote time served. And so he ended up serving 7 days, a whole week. Yeah. And so he got out not long later.
Stinky's a good guy. He's not going to do anything bad again. Stinky.
Not Stinky. I mean, apparently you could just go around assaulting sex workers and it doesn't matter much. I mean, it did because, like, the officers that were looking, they were trying, but there's just nothing to go on. They had Francois's name only because they talked and said, yeah, he's been rough before, but that's it. They didn't know anything about it. They didn't know how these women died or went missing, or they had nothing. Why? What is that? I've ADD too. Don't do flashing lights. Completely lost my train of thought.
I was just seeing how it looked.
It's noticeable.
It's a high intensity strobe.
Yeah.
Because Paul has one where he'll turn on whenever we're talking about the police being involved.
Oh, that's right.
I'm like,
a keyword it goes on.
I'm like, I need one too. So I couldn't find anything like what he had. So I got something that you can mount on a vehicle and you can see it for miles.
that is intense. I mean, I'd get nervous. Yeah. So a couple weeks later, he killed somebody else. It was Sandra French, she was 51. Her daughter was pregnant, and her daughter reported her missing pretty quickly. Or is that Sandra? Or I think that was Sandra. And then there was Audrey, who was only 33. And that was, so Sandra, so he was arrested and served 7 days in May of 98. So 96, he killed three. And then 97, it was two, and then an attempted, basically. Then he killed Sandra, and then Audrey. And then Katina, Ms. Newmaster, was actually known by the lead detective. She was actually used, they gave her a wire to have conversations with him.
I heard about this. Yeah. This sucks.
Yeah, so they gave her a wire. Nothing really came of it. You know, there was nothing. He's not going to sit there and be like, yo, I'm killing a bunch of your friends. Want to get in? Like, what are they going to get? You know what I mean? Like,
Well,
it was kind of like
they're hoping to get it documented with him
anything.
attacking her.
Yeah. Yeah. But he,
So it's
so
just
she did
like,
that a few times.
yeah,
And,
so they're like, okay, well, see if we can get him to try to kill you. Yeah.
well,
Good.
no, they told her not to get in the car with her, with him. It's like, do not go with him,
But on like the third
but
time,
see
she
if he can
did.
like do something. Yeah. And then that's, yeah. She wasn't wired. She, you know, she knew what was going on. The lead detective had talked to her a couple of times. He was like, you know what's happening out here. Like, you need to be careful. She's like, yeah.
It's
She
stinky.
knew. She knew Stinky.
Damn.
And he murdered her. So he murdered her. She was only 25. And that was in August of 98. Then there was Diane Franco, who also convinced him to take her back to Main Street because she got out from under him too. And somehow he was like, okay, took her back. Dropped her off. A bystander reported that she said that she had been raped. And they were actually, it was two detectives who had been working on this case for years, you know, the last couple of years, who were handing out flyers about Newmaster missing.
Right.
So they were, you know, undercover, what is it called? Unmarked vehicle or whatever,
Yeah.
handing out these flyers, you know, talking to people on the street. When this guy came over, he's like, yo, that woman just said she was raped. So they grabbed her, they talked to her, found out it was him. And they're like, yeah, this is good. It's terrible for you, but it's really good for us. You know, like now we can really talk to him. So last time they tried to talk to him and they're like, yo, you know, these girls missing. He's like, no.
Nope.
Well, I hear you're rough with the sex workers.
No, I'm
Am
not.
I? Yeah, me?
Man.
I don't think so. No.
I wine them and I dine them. I love them. I cuddle with
Yeah,
them.
exactly. No, that's no. I'm a teddy bear.
Well, one of the girls that he had attacked prior to his first known murder, he had actually, he had roughed her up pretty bad and
Yeah.
didn't kill her, and then he apologized to her, like, I'm sorry.
Yep. And
And
that
it,
was what
yeah.
that was something else that his battle buddy said. It was basically like that that sorrow, like that what is it called? It's like the guilt basically.
Yeah.
That's why I think it like points a little bit towards like the religious aspect of it, because like if his parents were religious, because apparently they weren't even strict parents.
Obviously, look at
Well, yeah.
the house.
I guess that's a little given there. But yeah, they weren't strict or anything, so but if religion was important, like that's one of the core Catholic beliefs. Sex is bad. And now he can't even get sex in like a relationship in like a loving way. He's got to pay for it, so that like gives it another level. You know what I mean? Like all that guilt or whatever.
Well, they say that when you hire a sex worker, you're not paying them for the sex, you're paying them to leave.
Yes. But actually, they take the payment beforehand, so.
You're still paying them to leave.
And in this case, they wanted to get the hell out.
Yeah.
That was not a problem. But yeah, so she was able to convince him to take him back, and they got him, and they were all. He said at some point he was answering some questions, and he's like, oh, I want to talk to the prosecutor. They're like, okay. And then he wanted to see all the dead prostitutes from 1993 until 98. And they're like, 93? And that I don't understand either, because he was still in the military. He was still on Hawaii when in
So that
93.
wouldn't have even checked out as just a mind fuck.
No, like it doesn't make any sense, because I mean it is a mind fuck, because I don't get it. Like, what is
No,
happening? Why did you do that?
but still, yeah, you're right. It is a mind fuck, but it's not like oh, could he have done that? No, because he was in Hawaii. But
But he was there in like, I think,
why say that?
yeah, but he did leave Hawaii in 94 and he was home. So there was a couple of years that he very well could have.
True.
Maybe Wendy wasn't his first one, but then again, he did have to drown her, and the rest of them he didn't. So it's kind of like
a lot of these,
go either way.
A lot of these where, a lot of them is just like, I would more often than not in with these chuckleheads, I would say that they're, that there's more than what they've been convicted of.
Yeah, I'm sure. And plus, he was already rough with them.
Right.
He was already known to be rough with them. So who knows? But there is definitely eight. He did go through, he was like flipping them over and like putting them in different piles. He's like, I killed those. Maybe them, not them. It's like, what the fuck, dude? Just, and all like matter of factly, like he didn't care. Now, what was going on in New York State around that time?
So is this like a Henry Lee Lucas type situation where he's just confessing and, randomly just for shits
He
and
confessed
giggles?
To the women that he killed. And then the ones he said he didn't know were actually a couple women he had killed, but I guess he didn't recognize them in their
Oh, okay.
photos.
Gotcha.
So, but he didn't, he didn't pick anybody out that he hadn't killed. He wasn't sure about a couple, but they matched like what he had, who he had killed. So, but, so New York State got rid of the death penalty, but mid-90s, Pataki brought it back. Like that's what he ran on, was the getting the death penalty back.
Right.
But it was weird, like the stipulations of like who could actually receive it. And according, which this is insane to me, so New York State's definition of a serial killer was not what we call a serial killer, which is three or more, same type way, different, whatever, right?
Right.
There's a difference between serial and mass and da-da-da-da-da. New York State said two or more murders committed within the state on separate occasions within 24 hours. So according to New York State, he wasn't even a serial killer, or at least at that time.
According to that law, BTK is not a serial killer.
Exactly. I mean, Bundy is. Kemper is. I'm like trying to go through like who else, like, but yeah, but how
Danny Rowling is, well,
who came up with that?
Well, it's New York.
Hey, you really want to go New York versus freaking Florida, man?
I'll take Florida any day of the week.
I would take New York over Florida, man, any day.
Yeah, here you are with a Florida
y'all got
man.
Your bath salts down there. I don't know.
Alligators.
Yeah, everything's trying to kill you in Florida. No, I'm good. There's only a couple serial killers trying to kill us in New York.
Oh, we have them too.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you guys, you got it all.
Yeah, but Florida's where serial killers go to die.
Yeah. So do New Yorkers.
Damn.
I mean, come on. How many snowbirds?
No, you're right. You're right.
What's also really weird about, so they said you can get the death penalty if basically if you rape somebody while committing another felony, right? So he murdered these women. But because they were sex workers, they can argue that it was a business transaction gone bad. So it wasn't rape. It's like, I don't think they were, No.
They can't hear the face palm I just did. I just face palmed.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a business transaction. It's not rape. And
well, then
I didn't mean to. I just got a little rough. What are you going to do? Boys will be boys.
Oh, that's basically it. You got out of hand.
Exactly. Yeah. We were having rough sex and it got out of hand.
And I accidentally strangled
400 pound body on top of them. So yeah, it was interesting. So the district attorney actually had 120 days from the date of arraignment to figure out if they were going to try to get the death penalty. But the district attorney couldn't do it. It had to be the jury unanimously voting. So the district, it was weird. His lawyer did try to get life without parole. District attorney said nope. And yeah, he got life without parole. And yeah, I think it was like 25 years for each one to life or whatever.
Yeah, so he ain't going nowhere.
He didn't. He died. He died in prison. It was said that he had HIV during the trial. It came out that he was HIV positive, but he didn't tell the women that he was with, which is because, like, that's their problem type thing.
Nice guy.
And yeah, right. And then he also, but they also said it might have been cancer, but it was like, you know, natural causes.
Well, I saw something where he had pretty much narrowed it down to where which woman he thought that it was that gave him HIV.
I think so. But I mean, I don't know. That all depends on when he got tested. If he got tested, like, I'm surprised he knew.
Yeah.
But because I don't think that's something.
When did he die?
2013.
Yeah, so it was too early to call his death COVID.
No. Yeah, no. So it's just natural causes. I mean, he didn't have his head like caved in like Dahmer, so nobody cares, I guess. But I mean, he corresponded with a few people, but he never gave a shit ever. They asked him, like, what do you think you did wrong? Like, what, like, this is what happened. Like, he was more matter of factly, like, this is what happened. Like, well, what do you think you did wrong then? I confessed. If I didn't tell them, they would never have found me. It's like, well,
they would have got you anyway.
I mean, eventually. I think he did kind of, he was under suspicion. They told him at one point that they had been following him. Like, they put, before they did the lie detector test, they actually put the women's faces in front of him. No reaction. They even had in the interrogation room a filing cabinet that said, you know, Francois school records, Francois work records, Francois military records. They're like nothing in the drawers, but they wanted him to know, we've been watching you. We know about you. And they put on their like photos that they took of him when they were following him. He didn't care. Didn't care. He took the lie detector test not long after that. Yeah.
Wasn't
didn't
me.
Care. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why he confessed, because he probably could have gotten away with it for a bit longer. They literally had nothing on him. It was just a strong suspicion.
Damn.
I mean, it's they would have caught
him in the act or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as stupid as BTK. Like, you can't trace this, right? Fucking idiot. Like, no, dude. What else you got? Send me your address. I can't find you. Like, I swear.
Yeah, we have an episode coming out on Larry Jean Bell. It'll be out after this one.
Okay.
Comes out. It'd be episode 101. But
wait, I'm 100?
No.
Oh.
100 comes out, you know. 100.
I'm really excited.
100 comes out this weekend, but this will be out before 100, so
99 problems.
But
Kendall is one.
But he got listen to that episode. The way he got caught. I mean, this was South Carolina story. And
yeah,
the police on that one, God, every single cop involved with bringing him in deserves a freaking medal.
You don't usually don't hear that.
No, people you don't. The sheriff in this one was got a little carried away, but not enough to jeopardize anything. In fact, him running his mouth, actually, you know, it could have gone wrong, but it actually something good did come out of it. Accidentally. so
okay,
so he's not, so he doesn't get a Dick Darwin award. Although he could have.
Yeah, I mean,
because it worked.
But so Kendall is interesting just because of the fact he's African-American. There's no rhyme or reason. There's nothing that points to anything, which is why people, I think, are just started kind of making shit up. like necrophilia. It made themselves feel better. Like, he was sick of the head. Obviously, there's necrophilia. It's like, no, but there wasn't, though.
Well,
you can't just.
They had decomposed so badly, there's really might not have been any way to prove that if he had.
But I mean, the most recent was weeks before. I don't even think it was that long.
I'm just saying that, you know, he could have, and we'd never know it. I'm not saying that I think he did. I'm just saying,
yeah,
he could have, and we wouldn't know it.
I think it would have shown in the last few, at least, because he was arrested, I think, officially like the 2nd of September. And the last couple, it was August 12th and August 25th.
Oh, okay.
So that they absolutely would have shown like wear and tear or whatever, but they said there was nothing. So the older ones, obviously not, but the Audrey and Katina were right, one right after another, right before he was caught or confessed. So, but they're really, I mean, they had nothing. They had no reason for a search warrant. They had no reason. I mean, the cop was in the house and didn't smell the decomposing bodies.
Yeah.
So I can't wrap my head around that. Every time I say that, it's just like,
the only thing I can think of is maybe there was something wrong with his sense of smell.
But yeah, but there's four of them in that house.
Yeah, true.
You know, like maybe it was a genetic thing and something was wrong with their sense of smell. They just got used to it or didn't give a shit or, but no,
I'm
just
talking about the police officer.
Oh, the police. I mean, that too. Like, no, he talks about how much it smelled.
Well,
like, horrible.
You got people that are, you know, people that have like people that don't clean their cat's litter boxes and everything, they get used to the smell. But when somebody that doesn't live there walks in, it almost knocks them right back out the front door, the smell.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happened with the police officer. Like, but the thing is, it's, if you smelt that going into a clean house, you would know immediately. Even a cluttered house, you would know immediately.
Right.
But because of the house, it's like your brain, I guess, played a trick. Like,
yeah,
obviously, like, it couldn't be this. Like, it couldn't be this thing over here. It's got to be everything I'm looking at.
It's just that turkey on the counter from Thanksgiving in 1978.
Yeah. And don't forget the raccoons. The raccoons are in the ceiling. The whole family.
One woman who survived, who got away from him in the house, walked in. They're going to have drinks. I wouldn't take a drink from a glass that came out of his.
No. I couldn't. No.
I'm not.
I've been in some really seedy places, but nothing like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I would have been if I walked into that, even in that time during my life.
You would have turned right back around and walked out.
Yeah. I'm like, you know what? It ain't worth it.
I think I left my oven on. I need to go turn it off.
Yeah, right? Like, I gotta wash my hair, actually.
I gotta wash my hair. It's still wet from when you washed it earlier. I need to wash it again.
No. No. I couldn't, no. And that's what's really, really sad is that they were so desperate for the next, you know, next fix that they dealt with it.
Yeah.
And all of them, it wasn't the first time they were in that house.
Drugs are bad and good.
Yeah. Don't do drugs.
Yeah.
Serial killers love people who do drugs. Stay away from them.
Yep.
So that was fun.
Yeah, you did a good job.
Oh, thank you.
You did a good job.
So I'm going to be very anxious to listen to it then just listen to it over and over again. I'm like, wow, I sound like a crazy person.
So when's your podcast going to debut?
When my podcast? I'm going to sit there and talk about what? Y'all are doing the true crime. I'll give you platypus facts. The male platypus is venomous in the back toe.
That's a new one. You got True Crime Kent, where the op comes in with the coin facts every single episode. Yours will be platypus facts.
Yep, so platypus.
Well, that's very
The male platypus is venomous in the back toe. Don't forget that.
I know that. Well, I didn't know it was the back two. I did know that they were venomous.
But only the males.
I didn't know
And they
that.
do glow under black light, but they don't know why. Exactly.
I don't
Because it's a platypus. Why wouldn't it? If it was any other animal, you would have to get that explained. Like, why are bears glowing under black light? But because it's a platypus, it's like no explanation needed. It's a platypus.
Just look at them. They never stood a chance. It's like, of course they glow.
Yeah, they're basically blind and they don't have stomachs.
Why do
They
you know
lay
so much
eggs.
about platypus?
They're my favorite animal because they're socially awkward like me. You know they're not invited to those animal kingdom parties. They'd be like, nah, man. You're weird. They don't
Anyway.
have nipples.
Well, snakes don't either.
Well, they're not mammals. Platypus are mammals. Mammals have nipples. They don't. But they feed their babies milk.
Through the other toe?
It's like, I hope Bob doesn't eat from the
Oh, God.
Fun times. So there you go. Crimes, killers, cults, and
And
platypus.
platypus. Think that's the first time platypus has ever been discussed on the show.
So there you go. You could call them platypus stories.
I'm sure there's a cult out there somewhere that worships the platypus.
I honestly, if there is, I the way this is going, I might go ahead.
You
Like,
want
listen, all y'all suck. I'm gonna join that platypus cult. Maybe that's what I'll start, and then I'll be on the podcast again. So
Oh,
last time
man.
you talked an awkward amount of time about platypus. What's going on? Started a cult.
Started a cult.
Oh my gracious.
Do
So yeah.
they make noises?
I think so. That's really weird that I don't know that. I know they don't have nipples, but I don't know what kind of noises they make.
I could just see the cult like making, let's just say it's
Oh.
let's just say let's just say it's a, let's just say the noise they make is like, I don't
Man.
know, nyink,
I got ADD. Now I got to
nyink,
look this shit
nyink,
up.
nyink,
Okay, that
nyink.
sounds really weird. I don't like that one.
So the cult, the cultists, they'd be, you know, in their meetings and their or you know their worship services or whatever, going nyink, nyink, oh
Oh,
platypus.
look, I found something. Hold on.
Oh shit.
Wait. Oh, I'm going to send that to you because that was weird.
Yeah, send me the link and I can put it in the episode.
It was like you heard the water running, and it was like this. It sounded like a cat purring, but with mange.
Like
I don't know
that?
how else to describe it. So this has been fun.
The platypus sounds like a cat purring with the cat with mange purring. You heard it here first on Crimes, Killers, Cults, and Beer.
Oh my goodness. And yes, I am sober. This is a normal conversation for me. Only drinking water this entire time.
Well, me too.
Cheers.
Clink or
I know. Plastic bottles bump.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on. This was fun.
I enjoyed myself.
Yeah, you did a good job too.
Oh, thank you.
People listening, you know, hit up the pub, hit us up on social media, and give her props because she did a good job. Good job, Katie.
Oh, thank you.
Anyway, until next week. Later.
Bye.